spiritual salvation, but it is awesome whenever you do feel His presence. And it says where two or more gathered, you know, and wow, I felt His presence today. It was awesome. I can tell you it's an honor to be here. It is an honor to be in this house. And I pray that y'all don't look at the fellas standing here with his microphone. And I pray that y'all look towards Christ, because that is where these words are coming from. And I pray that He puts only His words on my lips. Whenever Pastor Paul, is that good? You good with that? You down with that? whenever Pastor said it was simply amazing that this day happened, if you only knew. And the other day, you know, I heard a preacher talking about the treasure in a field that you bought the field just for the treasure, a field full of just dirt. For the treasure. And so many times, you know, I always thought that was me or you or whatever buying all this or doing all this just for the treasure, and it ain't. It is God. He sent His Son, and He bought that nothing but dirt, that dirt suit that you're wrapped up in, that old garbaged up mindset, He bought that for the treasure that lays inside of you. And a lot of times, we can't see this treasure. You know what I'm saying? I can see you, or you might be able to see me on a Monday, and it ain't that I'm cussing like a sailor and drinking and doing all the things that aren't pleasing to God, but my action might be like, man, you can see my dirt. You know what I'm saying? You got to look a little bit harder. You got to look through eyes of grace sometimes to see the treasure. But I can tell you that I've got a background full of dirt. I mean full of dirt. Whenever God called me, you know, and I see a familiar place in here, I could get him to give some testimonies, and that dude would be like, and never in a million years would I ever walk up in a church house and see that fella standing there preaching to me, you know. So I can tell you this, that, and I'm not giving the devil and hell credit. I'm just telling you this because he can use anybody. He chooses to lose track of your past whenever he redeems you through the blood. He chooses not to remember it. The East is from the West. Usually it's our mindset that tries to dig it up, tries to dig up that old garbage, and tries to maintain places where we don't need to be going. He's got us moving forward. So I can tell you that, wow, if he can use me or Pastor Paul, he can use anybody under the sound of my voice. Y'all, like, they've introduced me. My name's Stevie Mason. Me and Brother Paul, we grew up at Dental War Basin Road. Followed some footsteps where we shouldn't have went. It took me a lot longer than it did, Pastor. I got saved 7 years ago this past February. I can tell you, the day before I got saved, I was 100% walking with hell. I was playing games with him. He was giving me chances over and over and over and over and over and over. And I mean, I was just rubbing my filth in his face, and he chose to just pick me up and set me on a rock of a foundation of truth and just love and grace that is incomprehensible. So don't think that you've done something so wrong that you can't get there. Don't think that you can earn it, because you can't. It is only by his blood and only by his grace. I need to apologize right here in front of all y'all to your pastor. Because I was that little dude when he showed up on the block, everybody like cringed. There's folks in here that could tell you when Stevie Mason showed up, I guarantee you, they probably wouldn't tell you this now, but in their heart, they's like, oh Lord, I wish he wouldn't have come today. Because I was a hellion. I mean, I was just full of it. And a lot of times, there was a bunch of times that it was me. Come on, Paul. And we get into some no count stuff, and I come out smelling like a rose. And Brother Paul, he'd get the rough end of a stick, you know. So I apologize for all that trouble I caused you when we was little. You know, you back in the day when we used to get in a scrap, you'd be like, "I hope you packed your lunch." Well, I can tell y'all that sometimes I get long winded, so I'm gonna use it like, "I hope y'all packed y'all lunch. I hope y'all brought a snack." But I won't keep you too long. Whatever God's will be done, I pray that over every one of y'all's lives, including my own. And I ask that he just pour into each other. This ain't about the little, you know, a lot of people go, they drive down Highway 90 or wherever they may be, and they'd be like, there's the church. No, there's the building. It is absolutely empty shell with nothing but a roof over it. If you don't come to this place, it doesn't turn into a church. It does not turn into the church. These buildings, they are of zero interest to God. His 100% full interest is in you alone. That is it. And He would have shed His blood for one of you. He did it for millions, but He would have done it for one person. And that is it. He knew your end from your beginning, and He would have done it for one of the smallest people in here. One in your darkest hour or on your mountaintop, He'd have done it for you if nobody else. I got an apology out of the way. See, y'all, I tease my pastor. He's kind of like Brother Paul. He was all around, you know, and I get back here, and I'm like, I'm going to have to start stepping out a little bit. But even if I was going to try to step out, them steps right there got me kind of scared. I'm going to stay up here probably. But y'all say commercial break. This I've got to say. And it's easy for somebody to come in a house and say it because, you know the American mindset. Whenever you go to church, somebody mentions tithe, immediately you shut the door. You don't want to talk about no money. Don't talk about my pocketbook. And I'm not here begging for bread. I promise you, I don't want a dime of yours. But what I can tell you that God's principle is tithe. Tithe don't mean 6.8%. And I'm not gonna stay here very long. I just want you to know there's a biblical principle that even people that don't love God, don't choose God, entrepreneurs, they even use this. This 10%, they use it and they benefit from it. God's children, all He asks for is tithe, and it means 10%. That is the definition. You or me or whoever cannot change that. And God will unlock things in your life as children of God on that biblical principle alone. And I'm just telling you the truth. It takes money to make the ceiling fans go around. It takes money more than that to even pour out into the community and whatnot. It takes money. If you ever walk in a church and they're talking about tithe and there's love behind it, it's not a greediness, you know that that is what, and now y'all know the biblical truth if you didn't already. Like I said, a commercial, I'm done with that. But just know that because it definitely, I mean, me and my wife, you know, I was raised up in church, but even when we got saved, we had conversations about it. And I was like, look, it means 10%. And just as soon as we submitted to that, it unlocks things. And just as Sister Dana was talking about, how He's never, ever, 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 ever forsaken me. Everything's always worked out for my benefit. Even if it ain't the picture that I painted, it has always worked out 100%. And that's it. He put. Sometimes you may go through a valley, but you'll never come out with the same mindset. God has always taken you to higher ground, and all of His principles are yea and amen. He's just trying to take us to a new place in Him. Done with the commercials. No, I'm not. My bad. You know, the other day I was talking to a buddy of mine. He's a youth pastor at our church, and we also work together. But he said, you know, we talking about you raise your children right. I raise mine right. We try to do the right thing. But you've only got, they're going to have outside influence, period. They're going to have it. And a lot of time, no matter how well you raise them, you better let them know God and have a heart after God, because He'll always bring them back. But we talked about a village raising your children, you know, and it was a tribal thing. Some come out of some book over in Africa or whatever. But you're only around your child a little bit of the time, you know, as they go off to school, as they go here, as they go there. Surround them with godly stuff. Surround them with people. And not only that, but as you go out, you be them type godly people. You be the village for children that don't even know them. You see what I'm saying? They're going to follow outside influence, period. I can tell little Stevie, don't catch the ball like this, catch it like that. I can tell him 200 times, and then when his coach tells him one time, He swaps it up. You see what I'm saying? That's just how life is. It takes outside influence, so be the outside influence. I'm going to read you a scripture, and I've got a bunch of scriptures. I did learn from my pastor, actually, to do paper clips. So don't think that I can just speedily, readily have it all available, but I got a paper clip where I can turn to it a little bit quicker. It's a cool trick. But talking about your children, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, this is heavy for parents, or whoever you're influencing, believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in a depth of sea. If you want a better perspective, if I can't paint the picture for you this morning, go get you a center block when we get out of here and try to swim across Blackwater. All right, that's about what it's going to be like with a millstone hung around your neck. So we have a responsibility as parents and outside influence to just pour into children, not pull them away, not follow your heart if it's deceptive. It says it's deceiving above everything. So sometimes your heart, you'll be thinking you're right on track, and you got to check it in. You got to check it in with this word. I can't, matter while we're on the word, you've got to read this word. I can feed you whenever I'm invited. Your pastor can feed you, what, 2-3 times a week. That's it. The rest is up to you, because he can't get you there. I can't get you there. The teacher or preacher on TV can't get you there. Jesus Christ is the only one. If you're seeking to follow my footsteps, you are backing up. Because I can tell you, I got to get up and shake the dirt off my feet on a regular basis. If you following me so full-heartedly and ain't even looking past me towards Christ, if I stumble, who's going to help me up? You're going to wad up right behind me. And that goes for your pastor or whoever. First Corinthians, we'll go there in a minute. Y'all lighten up. I can see like y'all looking at me like I'm shining y'all at night with a spotlight or something. One of them times whenever, look, this same house y'all sitting in right now, back in the day, you didn't have to, it wasn't no big laws and this and that and different whatnot, but all of a sudden, we had to have this fire marshal had to come in, and you had to do this, and you had to do that, and you had to, so all the little worker bees around here is running around. Me and Brother Paul, we little big fellas. We ain't got a care in the world. We don't give a rip about none of that. You hear it a little bit, and it's in one ear and out the other. Well, they getting all this stuff just right for the fire marshal going to come and either say, yeah, you can have church the next week, or no, you can't. Well, we running around, because a lot of times they'd pick me up. Brother Fred and Pastor Paul pick me up in the morning or before church on Wednesdays. We'd come on to church. Well, we'd be the only three here. Well, me, like I said, I used to get y'all's pastor in a bunch of trouble, and I'd come out smelling like a rose, and I don't know why, but we running around, all of a sudden there's this red thing hanging on the wall. Like, man, what is it? That's cool. I said, let's take it outside. All right, so we out there, and we got this fire extinguisher. We look at it, the instructions, pulled a pin, and I'm talking about we are getting down with the get down. And I mean, the whole atmosphere out there is filled with smoke. And we are having the time of our lives until that old squeaky door opened. And buddy, when that thing come open, Brother Fred hollered his name with such a rigidness, full of authority, I was gone, brother. I hid behind that oak tree, and Paul followed me. You know, instead of submitting, he frowned, "You boys better come here. I ain't going around there. You on your own." And Brother Paul, he went around there, and it was rough on him. That's one of them times I told you that I was, it hadn't always been, you know, I got a buddy of mine, Chad Kimmins, who I grew up with. His mama used to call me the dude on Leave It to Beaver that was always really respectful around people, Haskell. Yeah, Yeah, and they always called me that because I was always like, hey, how you doing? And everything, and eating, yes, ma'am. And then I had, as soon as the door shut, I was like, hey, come on, listen, you know. But God is awesome. He is absolutely awesome. You know, that's the end of the commercials, I think. 1 Corinthians, y'all bear with me because this Bible is falling apart. I bought one 2 weeks ago, and I didn't like preaching out of it. I like reading out of it, but I'm going to have to get me another just like this one. 1 Corinthians 13:11. We talked about childlike behavior, you know. Paul writes about, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I came a man, that ain't no gender thing, that's all of us. When I came a man, when I come fully grown, I put away childish things. For now, we see it in a mirror. See, God give me this revelation, and I'm not going to act like I'm some super spiritual fella in front of you that can memorize verses, because I have a hard time memorizing it. God will help it pour out of me when the time is right, or whoever needs that word, it'll pour out of me, and I'm like, where'd that come from? But listen to this. For now we see, all right, you put away childish things, you became a man. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Face to face. That's small. That's a small F. Face to face. You're looking at the very temple that carries around the Holy Ghost. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. That is powerful. If we could only get a glimpse of what we are, what kind of mighty warriors we are for the sake of Christ, for His purpose. You know, you see what I'm saying? We even as Christians, we look in the mirror and see dimly. But one day it's going to be face to face. One day it's going to be, you're going to look into the face of the very Christ on this earth. You're going to be looking into that face, knowing what God sees you. You're going to know, you're going to be able to see the treasure that's been hidden in the dirt for so long. Well, you know, as you was little, you talk about this little light of mine. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let it shine. Well, we act like that's just a little passive little nursery rhyme that you hear in church. But we get into the good stuff. Y'all bear with me if I don't make you laugh from here on out. If I step on your toes, I'm sorry about that. No, I'm not sorry, because it's from God. Amen. God has put a boldness inside of me. I absolutely love it. I had a boldness that didn't work for Him. I like rubbing people the wrong way and being real rigid. I don't want to be that person to y'all. I want to have a pliable heart in front of y'all, and especially under God. I want to be His footsteps and His voice. I want to bring to you what He wants you to know. That little nursery rhyme that we sung, that is powerful. That is the church. That is, you know, I named this Be the Church. But then when about halfway through, when God kind of swapped it, all this happened beside a creek this morning. Every bit of this happened right beside a creek this morning. I don't have the ability. God puts this, and I may write something at the end, then in the middle. I absolutely know no format. My speech is lazy. I hated English in school. I take shortcuts with my speech. I can't do this. God can do this. That's what I'm just trying to paint a picture for you. I used to not even like talking, let alone with something like this in my hand, talking in front of a crowd. But to come to church, what did you come for? Did you come today to say, hey, look at me, I went to church on Sunday? Was you walking with hell Friday night and you just wanted folks, you know, because I know there's and don't think that I'm painting a picture about none of y'all, because I don't know none of y'all's personal walk as of right now, except for my family. I don't know nobody in here as far as what they're going through or what their walk is like. But I can tell you that it ain't for us to come up in church on Sundays and Wednesdays and just, all right, we're good. God so desires for you to let your light so shine among men. He wants us to pour out. It says right below that scripture I read a minute, the greatest of all these gifts is love. You know, a lot of times people's like, oh, I'm too shy. I can't speak God's word into somebody's life. So what if you love them if they did you wrong? What does that measure up? I'm telling you, it's rough. Somebody who's rubbed you wrong, you want to rub them back a little wronger. You know what I mean? But if you pour love into their life, what kind of glory does that give to the Almighty? I think it's in all the Gospels, but it talks about a light of the world that cannot be hidden. Once you get a taste of it and get on what God's got for you, you can't hide it. Over and over and over and over again in Isaiah, this is God through Isaiah, it says, awake, awake. And it's explanation. I probably didn't even do it. I didn't do it no justice. It would be like just screaming off a mountaintop, awake, awake. God's trying to do something with his people. He is trying to do something with his people. A lot of you right now, in your mind, in your heart, America has got a jacked up mindset. And I'm talking about God's children. You know, we get what I was telling you about going out and being the Christ. That's relationship type stuff. The coming to church on Sunday is like an old, we try to live out this thing called Christianity in an old covenant mindset. It's like slaughtering our goats on Sunday and Wednesday. If you don't know him on Monday, he's done away with that covenant through his son, through the blood. It is a relationship thing now. And a lot of times, America's almost, you know, and don't think that I'm just putting it out there. I'm not talking to any individual in here, or I may be talking to an individual in here. I'm talking period. You know, you go to different churches and visit, and you just don't see the heart burning after God. I can let you know that I witnessed a heart that was burning after God as we was praying back there. I witnessed that. That was awesome. That makes me happy. Because a lot of times people are in that old covenant mindset like deal, and they don't even realize they're there. They're just, you know what I'm saying? Come on Sunday and Wednesday or whatever, and you don't have that heartbeat behind God every other day of the week. What are you doing? You're wasting your time walking through the door if you don't have that relationship with Christ. It tells us over and over. And like I said, I get the microphone and I'm wanting to preach the whole word. I'm talking about hit you in the head with it, you know, and I can't do it. I'll get so far off my notes it ain't even funny because God will put things in my mind, you know. And I may even chase rabbits. I'm sure I do. It's because I'm wanting to give it all to you, because I know some folks just don't never pick up their Bible. I pray that's not you today. Joshua 1:9. Got too far ahead. somebody in here right now might be thinking, man, I can't go tell nobody about Christ. You know, I'm shy. You know, I done told you about how you can pour love into them. That doesn't substitute for actually telling them things about Christ. Telling them, it's easy to tell them what he's done in my life. You can just open it up. But Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? That is a question from God to Joshua. He is telling, have I not commanded you? Because about three scriptures before that, he said the same thing near about. Be strong. This is a commandment. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I can tell you that whenever you're on a mountaintop with God, it's easy to tell them how good God is. It's easy to love on people. It's easy to pour into people's life. But you may be in your darkest hour, and God have you there to speak life into somebody. He may have you there to speak life into somebody. And it is a very easy thing. Take him with you wherever you are. Whether you're on your mountain or you're in the very darkest time of your life, take him with you wherever you go. Amen. Y'all say story time. Story time. Whoa, if I was to close my eyes, I'd swear there wasn't but three people in here. Look, see, this part is easy. This part is easy. And the more I learn about God, the gospel becomes easier because it's inside of you. Something that y'all may not know, some folks may know, but I can tell you, and trust me, I try to be as humble as I possibly can. I don't I don't want no praise. I don't want nothing, none of that. You save it for Him. I don't want to wear pride around. I am proud of my Lord and Savior, but I don't want to be associated with it, because y'all know what comes after that. Me and my family, and I was going to try to make it short, but it ain't going to be short. Me and my family, you know, I got a beautiful wife and these beautiful youngins, and life is good, got a good job, everything's going perfect. Well, you know, back in the day, I'm partying and raising sand and carrying on and just doing all the things that my belly wants to do, that I want to do. I was serving myself, you know, and I found out I had kidney disease. Well, I didn't pay it no mind. Junk wasn't slowing me down. Got tired of hearing what the doctor said, so I was peace out. All right, 12 years later, my wife wants me to go get checked. Well, one thing snowballed into another, that snowballed into another, that snowballed into another. Got jacked up with this doctor that didn't know what she was doing, put me on a medicine that took my kidneys over the edge. They couldn't handle it. You know, she helped me. I'm telling you, there's feelings there that ain't going to come out. But she helped me into what God was trying to do with my life. You know, and I can tell you that I hope that nobody goes through that type of thing. I can also tell you that it was the wretchedest time of my life. I can also tell you that there was times that suicide wasn't there, but the thought of death instead of this was fresh all over me. That would be fine with me, because it was just so wretched. Seeing your blood leaving out of you, going into a machine and then back into me, and some dude over there that looked like he'd been up all night on drugs changing that crap out, and just filthiness, you know. And that was my life. Thank God it was only for 3 months, but that was my life. I can tell you that was a wretched time in my life, you know. And most of all, it was more wretched on her than it was for me. Because whenever somebody that you love is down and out, there's nothing you can do about it, but you want to fix them. See, if you're the one down and out, you just suck it up and roll with it. If the other one was trying to fix everything. So it was a rough time in our life. You know, we'd bought some land. You know, everything's glorious before this time. We're going to build a house. All that junk got snatched out from under us. All them dreams and that hope snatched out. And I was like, all right, it wasn't for us. You know, doctors that said, there's nothing we can do for you. Death is your next step. And the peace that Brother Paul talked about earlier, that you can't even understand, me and her's hysterically laughing within 3 minutes after this cat telling me that there's nothing we can do for you. The medicine probably wasn't a good choice, but there's nothing we can do for you. You're pretty much toast, fertilizer, dirt. Go back to where you once come from. And me and her is like, I just look over, you know, we're in shock, and I was like, can't hurt, you know, because we asked her, can we do this? Can't hurt. There ain't nothing we can do for you. You know, this is the top dogs at this hospital. Nothing we can do for you. And then we're hysterically laughing. I got this tube running down him through into my heart and hysterically laughing. You know, we're dancing around with my children in the kitchen, and all this junk is going on. How do you explain that? I can tell you that God wants you to be about His business even in them type of hours. Even when you don't want to even live, He wants you to be about His business. There, and add on to that. And trust me, this ain't about me. This is about Him. I'm hooked up. There's a nurse, and she comes through there humming some country music or whatever. You know, I used to be into country music and all that, but if it don't give glory to God, it ain't of Him. So I don't listen to the garbage no more. A lot of times I don't listen to nothing. Every now and then a little bit of praise and worship. I like peace and quiet. That's just me. But I can tell you that I ain't getting on the country music. I ain't getting on all that garbage. Y'all know if it ain't of God, it's against Him. Y'all read it for yourself. But she was doing that, and I was like, what are you singing? She's like, man, you don't know what I'm doing. She went into, you know, like humming it out there, and she, this is the nurse, you know. I'm laying there with blood getting pumped in and out of me. And she's like, well, I know you listen to country music. And I was like, no, ma'am. And she said, what'd you listen to? And I told her the spiel about the peace and quietness and that. Well, I know the way you talk, you this and that. And I said, let me tell you something. And I'm not going to pretend that I can word for word, because I don't know. But I went to telling her how God desired her. and desired a relationship with her. And I told her the God that I serve, because I've seen him do this type of thing. See, me and you will paint pictures how God wants to do it. Wrong. I ain't never painted a picture of how God wanted to do it and the picture be lined up with his. I have never seen that happen. God's got the whole outlook. And I heard my wife say one time that there was a big old painting on the wall. She'd heard somebody preaching, and you walk up to it and you cannot see nothing. You can't see anything. And that's the way it is looking at God. God's picture is so big and beautiful and huge for your life that you can't see it. You just got to trust in him and walk in him. But I went to talking with her, and I was like, look, let me tell you something. I said, I don't like the situation I'm in. Be glad I never even met you because of the situation. But I can tell you that the God that I serve may so desire you in his life that he'll allow me to go through something so horrifying as this to tell you about his goodness. And I said, and if you won't even accept that, it may not even be for you. You may be an innocent bystander. But I can tell you one thing, that you may have a child that is going to set millions free upon this earth. That's the God. Sorry about that. That's the God that I serve. Sorry about that. But the other night I forgot I even had water, and I was spitting. They talk about Baptist preachers and sitting back a couple rows. We have it in the Pentecostal house over there. But anyway, but that's the kind God desires that. He desires for you to lift up that child, that beautiful, even, I mean, all of us, whatever, wherever you go and carry him with you, whatever you're doing, carry him with you. There's somebody that he wants to use you for, that he desires, that is going to be, ain't put us to shame, but is going to surpass what me and you are doing. When you know, if you raise up a youngin and, hey, go get me a beer, what you reckon they're going to do whenever they get it, when they get up? Hey, baby, go get me my Bible. What you reckon they're going to do? They're going to take whatever mom and daddy does, and they're going to go to the next step. They're going to take whatever mom and daddy does, and they're going to kick it up a notch. And if that's drinking, raising hell, smoking dope, the whole nine yards, and don't think that I'm speaking to you as somebody that ain't never seen that type of lifestyle. I used to live in it. I'm telling you, whatever and I ain't speaking for as far as how I was raised. That was the outside influence I was talking to you about earlier. But your children are going to, they're going to grasp hold of, your children are going to grasp hold of things, and they're going to catapult themselves to another level. And it's up to us to raise them in a godly way. Story time. You know, whenever I was playing games with God, it was 1/4 of July. I was playing games with God. There was 1/4 of July. I was sitting there, and I had me some coasters on. I'm sober. But I'm sitting there around my family, and we got, my mama had a pool, and my children are playing. They're all beautiful, but my little girls, their eyes sparkle in that pool. They glow, and gorgeous. I mean, unbelievably. You know, the ice cream maker's churning, the barbecue grill's going, and I'm sitting in this chair, and I can tell you a few times that God has spoken clear to me, that I knew that it was him. And he spoke very clear to me and said, get in and save them, they're drowning. And I was so lethargic and paralyzed. I mean, my arms was on the handrest, and my children, I could see them not physically drowning. But I could not move. My eyes was full of tears, my heart full of hate. I was so rigid and caught up in my ways. And as soon as he said that and them thoughts run through my mind, he says, you can't, you're a dead man. The overwhelming feeling that come over me, it was just the nastiest, vilest, unpleasing to my God Almighty that has took care of me whenever I even wasn't even walking with him. And he showed me that I was a dead man. And first it was physical. I was like, wow, I'm fitting to die. But then after I got saved, he showed me what it was. And my children were spiritually drowning. They was fixing to go into a lifestyle that I had sown seed just on a one-way ticket for the wretchedest crap known to man, and that is a life without God Almighty. And He showed me that. And as parents, we've got to awake. We've got to awake. I'm going to tell y'all something that's going to free y'all up right here. This is awesome. I want to try to stay close to the notes just because of, I'm not going to apologize for what the Holy Spirit has to do. I'm going to read you scripture first. Is that all right with y'all? This thing's got a buzz to it. Kind of buzzing like. Isaiah 58:6-12. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? If the first part of this talking about going about it all wrong. Back in the day they was fasting, but they was still fulfilling their own pleasures and doing their own thing. They wasn't seeking God and all that. Is it not to share your bread? And God's trying to touch them and say, this is the way you seek me. This is what you're supposed to do. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh? You know, that right there is easy to do. And I didn't know what that meant, but hide yourself from your own flesh. Even your flesh will have pity on somebody that needs stuff like that. And when you turn your way, you're hiding yourself from even your own flesh. Wow, He just wants us to be the light of the world. Then your light shall break forth like morning. Whenever you line up to God, your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness, the blood of Christ, shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the wickedness, and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall be dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. Wow, if you can grab hold of that. If you can't, read it over again. That's Isaiah 58. Your darkness shall be as noonday. Look how bright it is outside. In your darkest hour, it'll be just like it is out there. Full of light, full of love, full of grace. That is awesome. This revelation right here, God, give me. This one may have been passed down. I may have learned this in like a prayer meeting and whatnot, but it is awesome and it's biblical. It's 100% legit. A lot of times we give the devil so much credit. We give him, you know, and then the pastor that I got saved under, it's at a different church pastor that wedded us. You know, he talked about everybody always blaming this and blaming that, and he said the church got out and they went outside, and there the devil sat on the front step squalling like a youngin'. He's like, devil, what's wrong with you? And he said, man, everybody in there blaming me for this and blaming me for that, and I ain't even done nothing. You know, because that's that mindset, that's that flesh, that's that enmity against God that we war against. We always war against that. And a lot of times, Satan ain't even around. God ain't gave him permission. If y'all know anything about Job, he's got to come through God to get permission to even fool with you. To even come, even think about coming up against you. He's got to go through God Almighty. He's like a puppet on a string. God can dictate everything that He does. If you ain't quite walking right sometimes, God may be like, there you go. I'll use you to get my child back in order. That is the bottom line. That's how it is. We think that Satan is all this and a bag of chips. Isaiah says that whenever there comes a day, we're going to be like, that's the dude that's got everybody jacked up. It's going to be like a joke. It's going to be like a joke whenever you actually see this cat. Enmity against God. That's a hard word to say. Enemy against God is your flesh, this dirt suit. It don't like them. It don't want to please them. And you got a soul, man, that's going to either roll with the flesh, it's going to roll with the spirit. I can tell you that the flesh, darkness, depression, just death, destruction, all of it, life, glorious, joy. I mean, it's like common sense. What you want to roll with? Is this side easy? Absolutely not. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the way. Broad is the way to destruction. If I'm looking at y'all and if y'all see me touching eyes with y'all, I'm just trying to look around. I'm not pointing nobody out. God sometimes wants us to be uncomfortable. If you sitting in a pew and comfortable, you might want to check yourself. You must be born through the womb of a woman. You must be born through the womb of a woman for power and dominion and authority and inheritance on this earth. Guess what? Satan wasn't born through the womb of a woman. This is biblical. You must be born through the womb of a woman. Every one of us in here, if we so choose to be God's elect, what He's called us to be, if we so choose that for our lives, that spirit man, we have the inheritance, the power, the dominion to tread over everything on this earth, to tread over everything that ain't godly on this earth. Everybody in here is born through the womb of the woman. Jesus Christ, to show us how to be able to do it, was born through the womb of a woman. Satan was not. So don't give him no credit. Whenever you feel like you can't because the everything is so rough, don't give them no credit. It's up to you and your mindset. It's up to you putting your faith in Christ. He does not have the dominion unless you say, here you go. You can have it. You've got to give him his. He's got to get the power of the tongue you create. You can create. God gave this ability to us. The power of the tongue to create. Satan has got to get you to get in your garbage mindset, to follow after the flesh, to create things in this atmosphere. He doesn't have that dominion. He needs you to do it. And if you deny him, he'll flee from you. 2 Corinthians 13. No, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Whenever you down and out, when you can't quite get there, do you call on them? Right now, I'm building a house. I'm not a house builder. But I can tell you that I've not asked God to help me in certain situations. I've tried to put my hands on it. Things that I know I can put my hands on and I can put it together and I can make a house. But then I come to situations I can't do it. I've never seen it. You can show me, then I can do it. Because God's given me that strength, that ability, that breath to breathe. But it's frustration, and I've failed to ask this God that I'm telling you about to help me out. And it's like I forget. It's like, hello, he's your daddy. Daddy, I need some help. And the times that I do, like, why don't I just ask God and give it to him? Blam, it just rolls out there on a silver platter with a silver spoon in it. Here you go, son. So don't forget about him like I do so often. If I say you, remember, I got a bunch of fingers pointed back at me. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 9. Yeah, I want to read this one. Some of them I've wrote it out here, but I want to read. This is one of the ones I want to read. I need to get me some highlighters because it all looks like Chinese to me after, even though I wrote it. 13, 5 through 9. This is good stuff. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Eesh. We could get caught up on that word alone right there and be like, oh, what I've done is disqualified. I done set y'all free from that. I done told y'all God what God thinks about that. East is from the west. Google it if you ain't got a Bible. It'll tell you. But I trust you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. Many days, the thoughts that go through my mind, I feel disqualified, but I ain't, because he lives and resides inside of me. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Now that you know you ain't disqualified, dust yourself off. Like right here is the easy one to preach, because how I've told you to go out and be the church. Whenever we bust it, whenever we get done with a day, you ought to have so much excitement of what you're going to do this next week. Not, ooh, I can't wait till Wednesday to see what Brother Paul's got to say. Ooh, I can't wait till Wednesday to see what God's given Brother Paul to give me for Thursday. Absolutely. But your mindset, when you wake up, who in here wakes up in the morning and says, who am I going to bless today? I know I don't. I've got to die daily. I've got to remind myself when I put on my boots, God, who you going to put before me today? Because I guarantee you, everybody in this house, and it's America for you. Everybody in this house, when they get up in the morning, their first thought is something to do with me. I guarantee you, and our pastor touched on it, it's a narcissist spirit. It's me, 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 me. What am I going to wear? What am I going to do? And if somebody did you wrong yesterday, guess where your mindset went? Right when you wake up. What you going to do? How you going to handle that? You see what I'm saying? It's me, 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 me. In the morning, get up and say, you know, who am I going to bless today? Who am I going to just pour a glimpse of God's light into? It ain't easy. If you got a boss that's got a garbage mouth and a garbage mind, it's hard to tell them Jesus loves you. Or better yet, show them Jesus' love. You know, it's easy to verbally say stuff. I can tell my wife I love you, but if I show her no affection, what good is love if you can't feel it? You can't dictate feeling love on your feelings. You got to dictate feeling love is making sure somebody else feels it. You see what I'm saying? I can't get up in the morning and be like, I'm going to feel love from so-and-so, or I'm going to feel loved by so-and-so. But you can sure get up in the morning and be like, they're going to feel some love when I show up. Don't worry about, you know, and this goes from grown mighty men that chop down trees with an axe for a living all the way down to the little school girl. Whenever you're trying to pour that love into somebody or talking to somebody about Christ, you're going to watch their face and you're going to worry about their expressions, and that's going to dictate whether you talk to them again or not. Most cases. I speak not. I powers in the tongue. I pray that over everybody in here. What I want to talk to you about is the Holy Ghost. A lot of times Christians get it on their mind to where they're going, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. He wants us to sow seeds. He didn't say stay there and babysit. Move on. If you stand there babysitting a seed that God ain't pulling on their heart right yet, you wasting your time. You wasting God's time. You're spinning your wheels. God called us to sow seeds. You may be even the fellow that watered the seed that somebody else sowed, not the one you sowed. He says that you sow it, another one waters it. Some may come around and dig up around it, make sure they flourish. And you see what I'm saying? Don't waste your time. Whenever you're going out doing this, if somebody don't want to hear it, usually it's the one that you have rubbed wrong with your love. Your show of affection, which your God love, is the very one that God got there. He's got them. He's working on them. The ones that kind of bubbly agree with you, God ain't pulling on them quite yet. But it's not your job. The Bible says the Holy Ghost convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts. Now, it may be that very Holy Spirit that is surrounding you when you walk through a crowd that just convict folks. But it's not for you to try to conjure up in your mind the words of conviction. That ain't for us. Debate about Christian beliefs and thoughts and whether you're whatever, Catholic, Baptist, this or whatever, Pentecostal, all of it's religion without him. Every bit of it is religious activity without him. Don't get caught up in that. It's a debate. It's a distraction. God never called us there. Sow seeds and move on. Sow love, move on. God will pour through them. Don't worry about their expressions, because I can tell you, if you worry about what you're going to get back in return as far as a feeling or whatnot, it's going to hinder you from going forth. If I pour something out into one of y'all's life tomorrow at the grocery store or whoever, somebody that don't know me, and they like give me some old nasty remark, or if I'm so caught up in my own flesh and myself and my mindset, I'm going to choose not to speak it to the next person in line that truly needs to know God, that truly has a heart after God, that's been fighting Him for 3 years and just squalling at night needing a breakthrough, and they get it through you. That's the type of love I'm talking about. Don't be worried about what people look like, their feelings, their nothing. Just sow the seed and move on. Dust yourself off. Matthew says, if they don't want to listen, shake off the dust. It didn't say lay down and squall. It says shake off the dust and move on. Isaiah 51. Surely God's got them in order, because I'm like back and forth in this old broken down Bible. Isaiah 51, 13 through 16. This is a good part. This is for Christians that forget. You remember I talked to you about forget? And you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. Y'all remember what we said about the oppressor? Y'all know what Satan means in Hebrew or Greek, or, like I said, I'm not no scholar, trust me. The accuser of the brethren. He's just a little old fella that knows his days are numbered, that know he fell like lightning, that is there to accuse you. But we make it. We make these molehills, mountains. You know, we talk about if you have the faith to move a mountain. My whole life growing up, I'm like, how in the world am I going to speak to one of them mountains up there in Gatlinburg and get them to move? I feel wholeheartedly this ain't what God was talking about. It's these mountains that our mindset conjure up and make all that. When you put your mind of Christ on, you can move that thing right out of your way. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, when he has prepared to destroy. He don't like you. Every one of us is built in God's image. Every one of us is built in God's image. Every time you wake up in the morning and put on the mind of Christ, you remind him that he used to, every step he used to praise Lord. Praise the Lord. Every step he used to be the spirit that anointed and praised everything. He was built for the praise of God till he had that deceptive thought. The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should not fail. But I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name, and I have put my words in your mouth. I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. You are my people. Do y'all know that in Job 42:2 it says that no purpose of God will be undone? And y'all know the part about praising him. If you ain't going to praise him, he'll call a rock to do it. No purpose of God's will go undone. Anything that he puts forth is going to happen, whether you're going to step aside and the next person's going to do it, whether you're going to step aside and your youngin's going to do it, or your grandma's going to do it, or whoever. No purpose of his will be withheld from him. Ephesians 6:12. Does anybody in here know what that is? Do y'all know what that surrounds? Anybody? Ephesians 6:12. Come on with it. The armor of God. I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to break it down. And we ain't got much longer, so y'all bear with me. Get some toothpicks for your eyes if I'm boring. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness, the darkness of this age, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Y'all think we're surrounded by evil days? The way of life. You know, it's everywhere. I'm not this doom and gloom preacher, but I can tell you that we need Christ more than ever. Stand, it says, therefore take up your whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Having done everything, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I said this the other night, not the back plate, the breastplate. Why do you think it's on your breast? It's because He has equipped us to move forward. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Them shods, they ain't on the backside either. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. A lot of people get caught up in you, Christian, everything's rose beds, everything's fine, negative. Whenever you start doing God's work, guess what? Your flesh is going to show up. You remember I told you about the enemy? The enemy only comes to you if God allows it. Your flesh is going to show up. All that old garbage is going to start pulling on you. It does not like God and like where you're going. The fiery darts are coming if you're a Christian. If everything's a bed of roses, you might want to check your walk. Because I can tell you that your enemy, your flesh, does not like you walking with God. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Who's going to go into battle without with Paul's, Brother Paul's sword? But he's got it in his scabbard. Brother Paul's got his sword wearing it. And he's in East Milton, and you in Pace, and you're going to go into battle, but I ain't got no weapon. That's what I was talking about. You've got to read the Word. And it's I'm going to tell you, I don't like reading. I physically got to make myself read. I told you how lazy I was with English. I do not like to read. And I can feel that old just trying to split apart at the seams when I don't feed myself. You've got to carry this sword with you. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. If we wasn't in front of y'all, my wife would have corrected me right there. Before I could even get that word out, she would have spit it out there. And for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Y'all know there's other scriptures that talk about boldly. Coming up into His presence boldly. I kind of wanted to stay away from that because I've always had this God as a far off. Even growing up in church, lightning bolt, you mess up, you gone. And a lot of times we look at Him like that. He's not like that. He's full of love, but He's just. If you slipping, He's going to straighten you out. But boldly to the throne, how awesome would it be with a heart after God, seeking Him in every breath of your life, when you know that the day has come, and there's going to be a bunch that may not quite get this boldly all the way, that's going to come into the throne room of God. Not saying that. As long as you're going through the blood of Christ, that don't mean you can be slipping. You can't be garbaging up Jesus' name. Taking God's name in vain, first thing everybody thinks is GD, negative. It's saying that I'm a blood-bought Christian and you out there on the riverbank getting down with the get down with a beer in your hand. That's taking God's name in vain. Not that other don't say, it's garbage. You know what I'm saying. We got to look a little deeper into this thing whenever we in this relationship with Christ. See all that I done got off of where I was going. On the he's got our protection for going forth. Isaiah, you heard it about the rear guard. I think it's in Isaiah 52. It talks about God being your rear guard, and God also in one of them, I think 52 or 58, it talks about I'll go before you and I'll be your rear guard. Y'all seen all the equipment to be for us going forward. God didn't say I'll give you as a church pew as your rear guard. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all, this ain't the only house that y'all been in. And like I said, from the short conversation, it sounds like y'all are going after the ones that are left, that are needy, the ones that are hungry. That's what we've got to do. I may be preaching to the choir right now. I do not know, but I can let you know, if that pew is your rear guard, God never designed that for us. He didn't design that for nary one of us. Well, it ain't us four and no more. If it's 400, 5,000, whatever, it ain't y'all 5,000 and no more. If it's a multiplication. Every one of y'all drug somebody in here next Sunday or Wednesday, and dragging them in here is going to be from that godly type love. It ain't like, hey, come go to church with me. Because they can deny going to church with you and never know the goodness of Christ. But if they see that beauty, not your beauty, if they see the beauty of Christ, the beauty, I mean, just that thing that they know's been missing. I can tell you that drug addicts and just every kind of addiction, they're trying to feed this thing that is missing. They're trying to fill a hole that is there, and they don't even realize what they're looking for. But from day one, from the very day that God breathed you into this earth, from the very day that you nursed on your mama's lap, there's a hunger inside of you that is wanting to get back to its creator. That very spirit that God breathed in the earth is wanting to get back to Him. And we try to fill it with all these other kind of wants and needs. And that's why that empty hole's there. That's why multi-millionaire drug-addicted rock stars killing herself or doing other maimed-up, unspeakable things. Because they may have not had somebody like you to say, let me show you what God's done in my life. It's simple. It is a very, very simple thing, what I'm trying to encourage you to go do. Y'all, now y'all know that the seat ain't your rear guard, right? God prepared us to go forward. I talked to you about not focusing on men and the reactions of people. And I also talked to you about the Holy Spirit that convicts. I'm fitting to close, and like I said, I'm not no super spiritual. But then again, I am. If the Holy Spirit is inside of me, like He is in all of His children, you are super spiritual, supernatural. Ephesians 1:18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the work of His mighty power. There's other scriptures that talk about, you know, not everybody's going to receive what y'all are about to go do this next week. Whenever y'all stepping out. See, stepping out. See, I got all kinds of phrases that used to mean some garbage up stuff. I use them for God's glory. They're His words anyway. But why y'all stepping out this next week? Why y'all stepping out and showing, just carrying God's presence with you, carrying God's love with you, you don't really, as a Christian, I'm learning as I go, but we don't really realize the power and the effect that we have in our words. We really don't realize it. Y'all remember you speaking with somebody or showing God's love with them? Be passionate about it. Be bold. Be just full of it. And watch what God does. It may be for their very sibling or whoever. You know what I've learned? Talking about Christ, it encourages whenever you're talking with somebody in like understanding, with a heart after God. That's encouragement. If you don't do that often enough, and your wife is great, but sometimes you need some outside influence. You need somebody that's on the same frequency as you. You know how people are on different frequencies? You need somebody that you can communicate with that's got a heart after God, not no ungodly junk. Got time for that. You sow the seed and move on. I just encourage you to go forth. That boldness to the throne. I know where I say I got sidetracked. God gave it back to me. But imagine if you wholeheartedly after God, when that day comes that you meet Him, and I mean meet Him where you can lay your eyes on Him. I'm laying my eyes on Him now. See, I can't contradict myself because there's a Christ in every one of you that choose Him. If not, Sal, if you need to know Him, today is your day. Don't leave here without Him. I don't know your walk. But if you don't know Him, there's no time to be a-wasting. No time to be a-wasting. But can you imagine walking up in His presence, knowing that He's proud of you? Now, can you really, really grab hold of knowing whenever you walk and you know He's at the end of that line of folks and they're squalling, they may be kneeling down, there's a song about it, what will I do? Will I be able to dance or speak or whatever? But what will you, if you see the line, and at the end of the line is all the Almighty, the Daddy that chose to love you, we only get to love Him back. He chose you. You didn't choose Him. If you're even in here, He's pulling on your heart. If you know at the end of the line, there's going to be a smile waiting upon me because I know I'm in right standing. I know that I've been covered by the blood. I know that I've dusted myself off. I know that I'm doing what God wills for my life. That is a boldness that most folks can't comprehend. And I ask for the realness like this, that God just showed me this now, but there's realness about God that I only get little glimpses of. You get a glimpse and it's gone. I'm like, God, I want that. It don't matter how hard you try, you can't quite get that little smidgen of glory, you know. And then a little while later, bam, there'll be another little glimpse. And I think I said it the other night, I pray that I want God to give me about two or three of them glimpses right in a row where I don't even stick for a little longer. You know what I'm saying? If I can handle it. But imagine living out a life so pleasing to God. So pleasing to God. He told you to dust yourself off. He told you to get up out of the miry clay. He told you to keep your heart pliable. Put it back on the potter's wheel whenever you do screw up. Put it back in His hands. That don't say you. Check this out. If you screw up, that don't mean I make a conscious decision to go that route. That's not a screw up. That is a mistake. Get up, shake it off. God, I need your help. I need your strength. I need your purpose in my life. I know a guy right now that's full of purpose, full of life with God that made a mistake. I've seen other people make that very same mistake. It surrounds addiction. I've seen him make that very same mistake and it leads to 10 or 15 years without Christ or an eternity without Him. That dude got up. He shook it off. He addressed everybody. Now, I was about to say congregation. He's not a pastor by no means, but he does spread God's word. But he got up, addressed every situation, told him he was ashamed of what he's done, and now he's on fire for God. You see what I'm saying? Don't stay in the mully grubs. Do not stay in the mully grubs. Romans 8:28. I have to look for this one because Romans is tore apart. You know, I was sitting in a tree stand in Illinois about 5 or 6 years ago and reading Romans. I was like, wow, man, I like that. I like that a lot. I mean, it was my favorite till I got to the part about obeying all the laws. I was like, good night, because I used to like being in some laws surrounding wildlife. But if you look at my Bible, you can tell that I like Romans, because this dude is, I'm telling you, it's ripped up. I don't even know where it's at. I can near about say it, but I try to be careful not to, when you get up here like this, I want to be careful to not do what God wants me to do. I don't want to say anything contradictory to what God has for y'all. But Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Don't for one second think that you ain't called. And don't for one second think that He won't justify you. He'll justify people like me that other folks will say, Him? He'll justify. I guarantee you, these folks in here might make me look like an angel back in the day. I don't know that. But I know he can take the wretchedest fella on this earth. There's folks that used to, I ain't never killed nobody. May have come close, but I ain't never killed nobody. But there's folks that used to murder in Hell's Angels type scenarios that are on fire for God. So many tattoos, you'd be scared to even look at that joker with junk crawling out of him and whatnot. You know, God talks about tattoos are not a good thing, but he ain't going to hold you to that. That's before Christ. You see what I'm saying? That's old stuff. He'll use, if he can use people like that, he can use every one of us. Every one of us. And like I said, I love y'all. Y'all said it was an honor for me to be here. I don't see it that way. I see it as an honor to be here, an honor to speak into East Milton. If this doesn't carry on, this ain't Stevie Mason's words. This is God's stuff. He's wanting us to put our hands to the plow. He's wanting us to do something with his authority and dominion. He's wanting us to be able to walk boldly to his throne one day. Every day, he wants us to come into the Holy of Holies. He wants us to fall in love with him like he loves us. And I pray that over us. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to be able to love him like he loves you. I mean, a lot of us know him as Lord and Savior. But do you know him as your Redeemer? Redeemer. You think about that. That treasure that nobody can see. Back in my day, you couldn't see a treasure nowhere inside of me. Other than hopefully my wife, she's seen a little glimmer in there somewhere, and your mama. Your mama can see your treasure, you know what I'm saying? When nobody else can, your mama can. And I think a lot of that's hoping. I hope there's one in there somewhere. But, yeah, just be bold. Be bold and full of his spirit, full of his love, full of grace. And wow, just ask him to help you put on his mind, because you can't do it without him. Just like I told you, that part about Isaiah, we forget. We try to give the devil his due. We try to give him credit for nothing. It's like we forget about our Father whenever in times where we most need him. It's almost like, well, God, where and why? You know, as I talked to you about all that we went through, I had it in my mind. I'm like, you know, there's a whole lot of why going on in me. But then at the same time, I ain't done nothing to deserve nothing but this. I ain't done nothing to deserve your grace, God. I ain't done nothing to deserve your glory. I'm in a pool of stuff that I have earned, but God. God chooses not to. And like I told that nurse, God could save me from that. Fill my bones and my flesh full of strength. For if nothing else but to speak in one person's life in here. If out of everybody in here, if none of y'all want to be receiving, there's one person in here that God is dealing with, and he wants you to completely change your mindset about him. He loves you with a passion like you've never known. A passion like you've never known. Race doesn't matter to him. Color, it's all dirt. It don't matter if you black, yellow, green, white. We're all equal in God's eyes. He made us from the dirt, and to the dirt we'll go back. We just need to make sure we show other people his children. I love you. It's an honor. I don't have it on my... I'm going to lay it out there. If somebody don't know him, today can be your day. If somebody don't know him like you want to know him, I'll pray over you. Not that I'm somebody special, but the one who has called me is special, and he'll touch your life today. If you feel like that's you, then yeehaw. If it ain't, then I'm not saying that. Everybody in here may be blood bought. Everybody in here may be able to preach to me, and I'll be like, oh, wow. I'm not saying that anybody, but every one of us need him. Every one of us need him. So if you don't know him, I encourage you. He said, I'll be ashamed of you in a day if you're ashamed of me today. If you're ashamed of God, he'll be ashamed of you. You know, I preached a funeral not very long ago, and it was rough. I think I've done pretty good today. I've been pretty nice guy. I'm usually pretty rough, you know. But at that funeral, it was rough. But I asked them, you know, because there's going to be a day whenever God's going to look at his beautiful son and say, you know him? I want to know that I know. You know what I'm saying? I want to know that I know. The spirit of conviction is an awesome thing. We just don't need to deny it. He loves you. He wants to be the peace and the love and your guiding light. And He wants to drive you into doing His purpose. We ain't here to sit on a pew. We ain't here to say, there's the church. We are the church. So I appreciate it.